Move to the fifth case this morning, U.S. versus Sanchez.
Dobbs. Good morning, judges. May it please the court. Mr. Norwood, my name is John Stobbs. I'm here on behalf of appellant Val Sanchez, and the appeal involves his designation as a career offender for counts 1 and 2 of the third superseding indictment. Moving first to the count 1, which is the conspiracy, I think that the 2007 marijuana conviction falls within the 2006 to 2009 conspiracy. At the sentencing, we introduced exhibits into evidence, and I think that for count one, Garrett would apply. And so I think that for count one, he would not have been a career offender. Count two is the count that is much more troubling. And as I stated in my brief, I recognize wholeheartedly that I think it's pronounced Liddell is the hurdle that I would have to clear in order to have Val resentenced and Mr. Sanchez be resentenced to a non-career offender status. The Vidal stated that it's all right.
We often penalize lawyers for that, but I can't penalize my colleague.
I'll take my penalty. Go ahead. Throw me off the bench.
Can't ask any questions. I in Liddell, what I found interesting was that it was stated that the direct conspiracy problem does not exist here. And as I was reading and as I was preparing the brief, that's something that that made me think that here the tail is kind of wagging the dog, because the substantive count, the July 2009 cocaine distribution, Mr. Sanchez, if I'm correct on count one, the conspiracy, he would then receive a greater sentence for count two, which is the substantive count. And as someone who tries a lot of cases, generally the conspiracy count is the one that we're always worried about for sentencing purposes. And here, if we had won the count two, then if we're correct on count one, and correct, Mr. Sanchez would have received a sentence, I think, of around 140 months. And I just think that in a situation like that, there's a that's the only way I can. That's how I would distinguish Liddell from the facts of this case.
I'm going to try to clarify something, because I'm trying to make heads and tails out of this. He had an original conviction in state court for marijuana, right?
Yes, sir.
Then the next thing, this conspiracy picks up.
Yes, sir.
For until the 19th of whatever it was.
Yes, sir.
For what, 2 or 3 years?
The conspiracy was 2006 to 2009.
Yeah, in 2009, on the 19th of something, he has a big party, and that's when he was nailed for possession, and it was also the end of the conspiracy.
That's correct.
In the meantime, sometime in the middle of this conspiracy, he's in prison, toward the end of it, I guess, in prison for marijuana.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, technically, there are four crimes. I think what you're trying to say is the conspiracy is the other crime, and that's where there should only be two, and he shouldn't be a career offender.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're saying that the possession with the party and the interim thing is just part of the conspiracy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, make that case, because it's not confusing.
It's confusing to me, too, because the time frames here, and I went through Liddell, and I saw how in Liddell the different substantive cases were made, and in Sanchez, the conspiracy, as I see it, is one crime, and what happened within that conspiracy is part of it, and my position is that the July 19, 2009 case is part should be considered part of the relevant conduct for both counts.
That and the marijuana in the middle.
Yes, sir.
So it confines it, makes one big crime,
yes,
as
sir.
Opposed to three little ones. Or I shouldn't
correct.
Say little ones, three crimes.
Yes, sir.
But that argument was not made to the district judge.
No, it wasn't. We didn't. Frankly, we were hopeful of the count one, the conspiracy count, and we didn't. We did not make it. So I guess I'm stuck with that. But we did not make that.
Well, obviously that's the problem here.
Yes, sir.
And you know, we can look at it in the abstract and say, gee, you know, are they ganging up on or doing something? But this is what. It's what we have in our lap, so we have to deal with that.
No, I understand that. And part of the problem, I think, in a case like this is that there's so many overt acts in the conspiracy that when you get set for sentencing, you know, everything becomes much clearer when you have to sit down, with a pen and paper and start thinking of it, having hindsight being 20/20. But it's in a case like this, the Liddell case, I understand completely what Liddell held, I can understand the reasoning for that. But here, it's just that the conspiracy is something that should have more of a consequence than the substantive count.
Now, I recall, didn't Liddell have a prison period that separated two crimes?
That's correct.
Even though they happen to be the same type of crime.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stubbs. Norwood?
And may it please the court and counsel. The government's first argument is that although the marijuana conviction occurred during the time frame of the cocaine conspiracy, it was in no way related to the cocaine conspiracy. It was a separate offense that there is no evidence that it was part and parcel of the cocaine conspiracy. And in order for this court to find that the marijuana conviction is related to the cocaine conspiracy, there must be some common scheme or plan in order to relate the two events, and there is simply no evidence in the record to support that. The government went through the trial transcript and actually found all the times the words marijuana or cannabis or weed was mentioned. And there was no mention that this defendant was distributing cannabis in order to purchase cocaine. There's no evidence in the record that this defendant was, like in the Garrett case, getting the marijuana and the cannabis at the same time from the same supplier to relate the two offenses.
You're saying basically he's committing concurrent crimes.
It's just a completely separate crime, yes, sir.
Even though they're similar customers and that sort of thing, but they're going on. It's on at the same time, and maybe just sort of a sideline that he's got marijuana. I don't know.
It just happens to be at the same time frame, yes, Your Honor. And because he lives in the town, it's occurring in the same town, but there's no connection between the cocaine and the marijuana. That's our argument. In order for it to be.
Would it matter if there are common customers that purchase both?
I don't know. I don't think it would matter if there were common customers. I think the Garrett decision talked about common supplier or somehow that the marijuana conviction was used to finance the cocaine conspiracy, and there's just no evidence like that in this case. Simply that you're fortuitous enough to sell cocaine to the same person as you're selling marijuana doesn't relate the two offenses in this case. It's a curious argument that the defendant is making that I'm a bigger dealer than the government charged me with, and in fact, I was selling a whole lot of marijuana, and that was part and parcel of the conspiracy. Therefore, I should get a lower sentence. I mean, it's logically, it doesn't make sense.
It shows imagination.
Well, it shows imagination, but I mean, the argument logically makes no sense. And with respect to count two. I think in the Liddell case, one of the statements by the court was the government needs to charge all these counts at the same time. I mean, we could have charged count two in a completely separate case, and there would be no issue as to whether or not he's a career offender for count two, simply because we combined it with the case and tried it all at once to save resources for both the government and the court and the defendant. Shouldn't preclude the application of the career offender status as to count two.
No, that's obviously, you can call it hindsight or whatever, maybe if that they'd argued something else, try to avoid career offender. That's what this is all about here.
If they had, but plain error on appeal, I don't think that that'll apply in this court. But if there are no further questions, I think the issue is clear. I think the court has a handle on the issues. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Norwood. You have three. Mr. Stobbs, you took this case by appointment, did you not? You have the thanks of the court for your representation of your client. This matter. Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.